Vai passar.
Blog Talk Radio.
You're about to listen to the Roman Show. The most informative show in mixed martial arts and pro wrestling on the net. Award-winning journalist Rodolfo Roman tackles and gets down to the nitty-gritty of the sport with exclusive interviews. Sit back, relax, stay up to date. Let the Roman Show inform you. Call in live to participate. 714-868-0222. Let the Roman Show begin.
Hey, this is Jacob Stitch Duran here. And if you guys really want to listen to some good talk, listen to the Roman Show.
For Florida MMA news and events, there's only one place to get your info from: MMAtothemax.net. From where to see the big fight to where is the next major event can all be found on the Sunshine State's number one source for MMA and grappling events, MMAtothemax.net. Don't click anywhere else and pump up the volume. You're listening to The Roman Show.
Welcome, everyone, to this edition of the Roman Show Mixed Martial Arts. We're talking tonight. You're opening off Roman alongside my sidekick, Rando Villafaña. How are you, Rando, sir?
I'm doing good, man. Watching these fights on Fuel TV right now, waiting for to see what happens with Kane Beltran and Tahuna.
Yes, sir. We got a lot to talk about. And I think at the end of the conclusion of this show, the Munoz fight will be over, but... Again, I'm just assuming. Hopefully that's what it is, and we could just recap the entire show. But, Rando, before we continue, we have two guests here in the program, and along with all the information we need to speak about here on the world of mixed martial arts, including the two, one of the main events of Invicta FC 2, which is going to take place in Kansas, and you can actually get your tickets right now by visiting either Ticketmaster.com or InvictaFC.com. Or by phone at 800-745-3000. And one of the main eventers, Shayna Baszler, will be here in the program in just a few minutes, and she will be taking on undefeated fighter Sarah McMahon, who actually competed or wrestled in the 2004 Summer Olympics. And then after Shayna, we're going to welcome in CFA, newly crowned featherweight CFA champion, Lazar Stojanovic, who I'm sure everyone saw that highlight reel on Inside MMA, how he knocked out Jordan Parsons. So we'll have the new champion here on board. And, Randall, you were there at the event at TFA 7, and my God, what a knockout.
Yeah, it was one of those moments where you're just like, did that really just happen? Because they were just pretty much exchanging, and all of a sudden Lazar just landed that right that sent Jordan right down to the ground and flat, like he was completely out the minute that fist touched his chin.
I love the headline in the knockout in Inside MMA underneath in the crawl. It said timber, because it really did seem like, you know, you chopped a big tree and it just timber, boom, just fell. So that's the way exactly how Jordan Parsons looked like. Ron, I believe we have right now Shayna on the line. Ms. Baszler, are you there?
Yes, I am here.
How are you? Welcome to the Roman Show. It's a pleasure to have you here on the program. You got a big fight coming up in just a few, later this month, in Kansas. You're fighting undefeated fighter Sarah McMahon. How are you feeling? How are you preparing?
I'm feeling great, actually. And I said this the other day to some other people that it's like the canned answer for a fighter to say, I had the best training camp ever, blah, 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 but I tell you what, I got some new changed some things around with my training and stuff, and it's been awesome. This is the best fight camp I've ever had. So.
Just right. Sheena, July 28th, you'll be headlining there against Sarah McMahon, who's 5-0. She competed in the Olympics, but that doesn't seem to bother you from what we're understanding. Now, you say that you've done some different stuff. What exactly have you done for this particular fight compared to the rest?
Well, the biggest thing, I guess, a general overall thing, is I'm not the one in charge of my training. Before, I had to be in such control that I was the one saying, okay, coaches of mine, I'm going to do this on this and this on this day and this on this day. And I just let my coaching staff take care of it, and they put me on a program, and everything's programmed out for me, so I know what I'm doing, you know, and it's been awesome. I have a new strength conditioning program. I've been working with Matt Miller at Horsepower Strength Conditioning in Minneapolis with a new strength conditioning program. I'm on a new cardio program with my personal trainer. I've been wrestling with the college up here. And then, of course, my regular fight training. So it's just been, I think the thing is it's all off my shoulders. And everything's set up so that everything, I know I'm getting in everything I need to get in every day. It's great.
Yeah, I've heard good things about that the powerhouse over there in Minneapolis. I've heard several fighters here in the program talk about that place. It seems to be like a great place for cardio, huh? And power
strength. Yeah, well, and it's, you know, it's applicable sports training. It's not CrossFit where you just go in and do, that's great, you can do 100 cleans at whatever weight, but it makes, you know, it's applicable to functional sports training, and that's what's awesome about it. It's, I can really notice a difference in my power output, so, I don't know, I'm really excited, I'm really, really excited.
That is just awesome. Now, according here to my notes, now, you do train under former UFC heavyweight champion Josh Barnett.
Yep.
Looking at so tell me about that, because this is going to help you out a lot, Barnett being a wrestler himself, against your opponent, McMahon, who's a wrestler. Now tell me some of the things, some of the tips that you got from Josh Barnett.
Well, first and foremost, if you watch my career, if you watch my fights, if you can somehow take the time and be a really big Queen of Spades nerd and look at my fights on YouTube even. The fights before I start working with Josh, I'm very jiu-jitsu-y. Meaning, you know, I play a lot on my back and I give up position because that's kind of jiu-jitsu. When I started working with Josh, the first thing he had me doing was start wrestling and catch wrestling. And if you look at my fights, starting with, I think Jan Finney was my first fight for Elite XC. Well, the first fight he worked with me on, is it's a lot more me initiating the takedown, me establishing top position, you know, and stuff like that. And so, first and foremost, he established a wrestling base in my game. And then the other thing I think that he brings into this is just his, not just wrestling and catch wrestling, but his overall MMA experience. I mean, the guy's fought everybody. He's been fighting since the beginning of time, I think. So, I think that guy fought his way out of the womb, you know? Like, this is a guy, if you ever talk to Josh Barnett, he's a guy that just loves to fight. So he has experience that I don't even think people realize the knowledge that guy has. And it'll be something where when I go out to see his W and train with him, my game jumps leaps and bounds, and I love it. So, and the thing that's good about it is he's really good at adapting things for my game. So if you look at, like, Megumi Fuji, who's another one of his fighters, she has a very different fighting style than me, but both of us are coached by him, you know, and that's the sign of a good coach. When you're not necessarily changing that fighter's style to fit your system, but you're putting pieces of your system into that fighter's style. You understand what I'm saying, like the difference? So, I just think his knowledge base is beyond his years as far as age. He's like, you know, so I think his experience and the knowledge he brings with his experience is the biggest help for me this fight.
Now I know that Barnett also trains Megumi Fuji, another top female fighter. Did you ever spar with her by any chance?
Yeah, I've trained with Megumi a few times. She's something else. I mean, I like to think that I'm halfway decent grappling-wise, but she throws me around like I've never been on a mat in my life. So she's like 115 pounds. So, yeah, I've trained with her, and she was here in the U.S. for I forget which fight, but Josh had brought quite a few females into her camp when she was in California, and I was one of them. So we got to spar with her and stuff for her camp, so it was great.
Great. Randy, you have a question for Ms. Adler?
Well, yes. I wanted to ask, I mean, we see just by looking at your record alone, you're no slacker when it comes to your jiu-jitsu. Obviously, you mentioned you did a lot of jiu-jitsu prior to even getting with Josh Barnett in your training. And obviously, Sarah McMahon, she's great with her freestyle wrestling. Sometimes the combination of two people who are really great on the ground ends up becoming a stand-up match just by matter of the way it plays out.
Mm-hmm.
Which way do you see this fight going? Do you really see it ending up on the ground, or do you see yourself keeping it standing with her and avoiding the ground in the end?
Well, I think that she's going to come in. She's smart, and she knows that the longer she spends with me on the ground, the more chance it gives me to finish her. Because the fact of the matter is, I'm more of a finisher than she is on the ground. That's just the way our styles work out. So I think that if I was her coach and I was coaching her against me, I would tell her to try to stand with me and then maybe secure a takedown at the end of the round in order to steal it. So I'm okay standing and throwing down with her. I think, one, I have really underrated stand-up just because of the couple of fights I've had where things haven't gone my way are the only thing that people have to look at about it. And two, I don't know how to explain it to you guys. I think I'm just old and crotchety now, or like maybe I've been around the block, I guess, in the MMA world. I just don't give a crap anymore. There's a side of me that just wants to throw down and come out both of us looking ugly at the end, and it's awesome. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It's just a fight. When I first started working with Josh, he said that to me. I don't know why everyone gets so worked up. It's just a fight. And I didn't understand it at the time because, you know, there's fighters that are like puking before they go out and like they're just nervous wrecks. But seriously, it's not like we're strapping M16s on and we might not come back home tomorrow. I mean, we're going to come home. We're going to party that night. It's not that big a deal. It's just a fight. So I think that's a dangerous thing to go against, is someone who just doesn't, I mean, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just not afraid. I've been there. I've done that. I have some things that she hasn't. I've taken some beatings. Nobody's done that to her. So I think when it gets to those spots, I'm going to know it's going to be harder to, I can go deeper in the fight without being flustered than she can. If, I don't know a better way to say what I'm trying to say, but.
No doubt. Randall?
The next thing I did want to ask was, I mean, in your record, you did, looking down your record, you did also face at one point Christine Cyborg Santos.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, pretty much the situation revolving around her is something that hurt around the world. I mean, what are your thoughts when it comes down to, like, fighters that have used performance-enhancing drugs into their body and influenced probably their career around it?
Well, I want to say first and foremost that Cyborg beat me that night, and I say this to everyone that brings it up. It wasn't because if she was on something or not, I know where my head was at, and it wasn't in that fight, the whole training camp. So I lost that fight regardless of whatever, you know, it doesn't matter. The solar flares were going crazy and her force powers were awesome. It doesn't matter. She beat me that fight. But, you know, it's not, I mean, it's not something like, it's not going to grant someone superpowers. What performance-enhancing drugs do, for the most part, is make you able to train harder than your body could otherwise handle. So it's not like, you know, all of a sudden you know, all of a sudden I'm going to be able to hit submissions and my striking technique is wonderful. I still have to be in the gym and train. So my thing is like, and again, maybe this goes back to me being old and crotchety, I don't care. Like, I feel like I should still be able to beat someone, even if their superpowers are crazy that day. Because if the basis of martial arts is that technique is, you know, I don't know. I'll still fight someone. I don't care. I'm not condoning it, and I don't, you know, everyone can look up my stuff. I've passed every test thrown my way, but I'm not going to, like, put someone on blast and claim that Cyborg beat me because she tested positive, you know, whatever. I know that I lost that fight. I know that I also could have won. So I don't think that ultimately that is what makes or breaks someone.
Right. And Ms. Basler, looking at here, they tied you the submission machine, like magician, sorry, because you're, as you mentioned, you just do it just phenomenal, and you come up with some of these submissions that people didn't even know about. But and looking at my notes here, they titled here the living and breathing rock star in the history of MMA. Why is this? Can you explain to us?
I don't know. I didn't come up with that. So probably because I am a rock star, someone would say that, though. So, you know, I mean, I'm the queen of spades, and I come out with a guitar, and everyone knows I'm into heavy metal. And so I don't know. If in an alternate universe, I am a rock star.
Now, do you play the guitar?
Yes, I do.
Oh, okay.
You know what's funny? I went to there's a band called Atreyu that I'm sure people have heard of. They're pretty popular.
Right.
And Dan Jacobs is really good friends with Josh. People that follow Josh Barnett know he's really in with a lot of bands. He goes to concerts all the time. He does all kinds of stuff. So he got me backstage at an Atreyu show here one time when they were going on tour, and I was sitting in the back hanging out with them, and we were talking about, because they grapple also, and I was like, you know, it's funny, because I would love to be a rock star. I would love to be up there performing. And they were like, well, you're an MMA fighter that is a rock star, and we're rock stars that wish we were MMA fighters, so pretty funny.
No. So is that one of your favorite bands, Atreyu, or you have another favorite band?
Oh, they're definitely one of my favorite bands, for sure. I love them.
You're more of a heavy metal or a death metal, or because I know Josh Barnett, he likes a really hardcore heavy metal stuff, Slayer and all that stuff.
Josh goes way, way, way into some heavy stuff. He has a lot of stuff that I haven't even heard. But he also, there is some stuff that, you know, he's like, hey, you got to listen to these guys, and he gives me a CD or something. So, I mean, it just depends on the mood I'm in. For the most part, I like stuff like Atreyu, bands that will mix their screaming with their singing. But, you know, there's never an occasion where a Slayer is inappropriate. You know, there's always your standard. If you're a metal fan, you have to like these bands. So, I like a little bit of everything, but yeah.
All right. And then again, guys, just a reminder that Shayna will fight Sarah McMahon on July 28th. For information, you can visit InvictaFC.com. You can purchase your tickets at Ticketmaster.com, or again, just visit the website InvictaFC.com, where you can call by phone 800-745-3000, and this will take place at the Memorial Hall in Kansas. Now, tell me about Invicta FC. I know you competed in Elite XC and Strikeforce, but in all women's MMA promotion, it's something that's sending, I would say, making a statement in women's MMA.
Yeah, and you know, here's the thing. It's been done before. An all-female card, that's been done before. Organizations have done that. I've been a part of other all-female cards. But I really think the thing that Invicta is doing right, that nobody else has done, is they're building the division as opposed to building one fighter and feeding fights for that fighter. You know what I mean? Like, even in Strikeforce or Elite XC days, there was always, like, one star. And then the other person was the co-star, whoever happened to be fighting them. And then once that fight happened, you didn't hear anything about that other person. It was always one person, and we're building everything around this one person. And what I like about Invicta is it's not like that. There's no one person that's, like, their franchise player. They're building, I mean, even on this card alone, how many 135 fights are there? There's there's a ton, you know? So, and they're all really good fights. Like, there's nobody that has a gimme fight on, you know? And even on the first card, there was nobody that had a gimme fight. You look at the matchups on paper, and I mean, of course, fights are unpredictable and they can go either way or whatever, but you know, on paper, every matchup is like, whoa. And for people that follow women's fighting, every single one of these fights on this card that I'm fighting on could be a main event. I'm actually kind of like, there's a side of me that's like, dang it, I have to fight on this because I'm going to miss some of it because I'm going to be warming up and doing stuff. So that's what I like about Invicta. They're putting on shows that if we were guys, if this was a men's card, it'd be, this is like back in the Pride days where every fight was a main event, and you know, these were these huge shows. So I'm pumped. Invicta, when I went to the first show, they treated the fighters awesome. They're doing all the right things. They're treating us, you know, just like they would guys. We're not a sideshow, and the fights showed it. And the fans were pleased, so they finally found the formula. So,
gotcha.
All right, Randall, a final question before we let Mandler go.
Well, actually, it's not a question; it's more of just me pointing out something. I want to point out it's incredible that in your career, at least, you've been able to accomplish two Twister submissions, at least in your career, and that's something that you rarely get to see. I mean, not too many people can pull it off in a fight, and you've been able to do it twice in your career, which is also impressive. So, I mean, just when it comes to your submission game, I just want to give you a huge bow and definitely much luck to you in this fight with Sarah.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, that's all. I have to give credit to my coaches, Josh and Bruce Hoyer, my other grappling coach. These guys, they don't put anything in a box. You know, there's no limits. And Josh Barnett in an interview said the difference between catch wrestling and jiu-jitsu is in catch wrestling, you can do anything. In jiu-jitsu, you know, there's always like, you can't do neck cranks, you can't do heel hooks, you can't reap the leg this way or whatever the crap. In catch wrestling, from day one, you're on the mat, you're getting your neck twisted off and you're whatever. And so I've always been encouraged by both of them, you know, to look at, like, I look at ridiculous pro wrestling submissions and I'm like, wait a second. I can actually get that to work. So I have to thank them for, you know, them not being in a box has helped me not to be in a submission box where it's not just arm bars and triangles and whatever. It's, or even positionally, it's not just mount and side mount and half guard and guard. There's other positions besides that also. So that's all the credit to those guys.
Well, Sheena, thank you so much. And Sheena, I know you got a Twitter account. And you can follow her on Twitter. Can you go ahead and let the folks know where they can follow you on Twitter?
Yep. My Twitter handle is QOSBaszler, and that is also my fan page on Facebook, facebook.com/QOSBaszler. And then I also have a website that RSS feeds all that. So go ahead and follow and keep tabs on everything. I'm going to be posting some fun videos and stuff as my camp starts to taper down and I have more time.
Awesome, Sheena. Well, check her out in action July 28th in Kansas. Get your tickets right now, Ticketmaster.com or InvictaFC.com. She'll be fighting Sarah McMahon in the main event of it. InvictaFC 2. Shayna, good luck, and I hope to have you here soon.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Same here. Thank you so very much. Good night.
Bye.
Bye. All right there, Randall. Wow, that's super neat. You know, we got a female MMA athlete who listens to rock. I personally am a huge rock fan, Randall, so I'm like, oh, I could talk with a chick about rock. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely. You know, that's definitely awesome. But I did want to give her the much compliments on her submission game alone, just because accomplishing two twisters in your career, is something, at least in MMA. I mean, you get those in jiu-jitsu competitions, but when you get it in MMA, it's always a difficult thing. And, I mean, we've seen the Korean Zombie pull it off on Leonard Garcia, but you normally don't see it that much, and she's been able to do it too. And she did it within, like, a four-fight period. So, and it did happen after she started training with Barnett. So definitely you see that the impressions were made around there.
No doubt. Now, what exactly happened? I was paying attention here to the notes, but between the fight of Joey Belcher.
James Tuhuna won the fight, but that definitely gave you a fight of the night caliber because they went at it. I mean, they were just to the last minute, last second of that bell ringing, they were going, just throwing punches nonstop. Great fight, good matchup. Joey Beltran looking thinner than ever at 205. He looks great. Hopefully, you know, maybe if he doesn't lose his job right now and he stays there, he's able to get into more physical shape because, I mean, obviously he had to drop all the weight. Now it's to get that muscle back at that weight class.
You know, that about now we're back to the main event with Munoz and Weidman. And, you know, the question that we've all been asking, I'm sure you and me, we spoke about this in the Octagon on Sunday. Is the winner of this, if Munoz wins, does he get a title shot against Anderson Silva, who defeated Charles Sonnen this past Saturday? That is the question that everyone wants to know.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what – I think it's all going to depend on how decisive the win is. If it's a decision win over Chris Weidman, I don't believe he'll get a title shot. If he gets a knockout win or a very clean TKO win or something that impresses Dana White and Joe Silva in the fashion of saying this guy can go in there with Anderson and possibly pull something like that, then maybe he'll get the title shot.
That's right, and we're going to see that right now. And then the other person that has been thrown in there is Hector Lombard, but of course he will fight. He fights soon, and obviously if he wins, then he could be another person that could be thrown in there in Anderson Silva. And then there's another gentleman out there who's going to be fighting in UFC 150. It exceeds my mind right now. Ed Herman, he's the one that said it. They said that Anderson Silva should quit while he's still ahead. I think the guy still got a couple more fights, man. Anderson Silva is in great shape.
Yeah, I think he wants to at least defend that title a few more times. I make that stretch of, you know, somebody being able to catch his reign really, really extremely off. To me, Hector Lombard would probably be the closest thing to somebody being able to possibly cause some damage to Silva because Hector Lombard's brick-like hands can definitely touch and hurt a chin. And we saw what Chael Sonnen was able to accomplish in the first fight just with a couple of good punches to Silva's chin. He was able to rock him. And Hector Lombard, when he rocks somebody, he doesn't stop.
Yeah.
But the only factor with Hector Lombard is his cardio. I mean, we've all seen him gas out. And we've seen it happen before. So, I mean, it could always happen if it goes the distance against Anderson. So, right now, in the middleweight division, there isn't really too many people who can give Anderson that much of a fight. And that's no offense to any of the middleweight division. I mean, anybody can surprise anybody any day. But just by appearance right now, it doesn't seem like there's anybody really in the division who can match up against Anderson and give us that great, great fight.
Well, another thing about Hector Lombard, I think, though, that he has an advantage of is obviously his jiu-jitsu. And we all know that his ground game is good, too. He does have high qualifications when it comes to jiu-jitsu. He trains in American Top Team with one of
plus
the top
judo
guys in jiu-jitsu. And his judo background, he's an Olympic gold medalist. I honestly do think that this guy has a big shot, a big opportunity of defeating Anderson Silva and his chin is tough. He has a tough chin, and he's a strong guy, probably one of the toughest guys when it comes to strength that Anderson Silva has ever fought in his career. We got to be honest about it. But, of course, the cardio, that could always be an issue. So you know that Hector Lombard, and I think this is one of the things that could set him back, is that when Hector Lombard fights, he wants that knockout soon. And Anderson Silva has quick reflexes. He's like a cat. And that right there is the back
fight.
What's that?
Oh, that he knows how to distance the fight. He knows how to manage the distance so well.
Mm-hmm, he does. And Hector could pretty much waste all his gas in trying to catch him while Anderson Silva just, you know, moving around like a cat, like he always does. And he's good at it. He's really, really good at it. It was just phenomenal. We saw it in the second round when Senna was trying to shoot him. He just walked around like, what do you got? What do you got to do, man? What are you going to do?
If anything is to show how his quickness and speed on his feet to dodge anything would be how he dodged that back fist. I mean, the spinning back fist, that was very un-Chael Sonnen-like. You know, it would have caught Silva off guard. Because, I mean, him throwing that, I mean, I understand it messed up the whole routine of his whole plan. But it was a surprise. If he would have caught him with it, then everybody would be like, Chael Sonnen pulled something out of the bag that he's never done before and caught Anderson Silva off guard. But Silva was able to practically telegraph something that's not easy to telegraph and dodge it completely and then throw a completely legal knee. I'm just saying it like that because people keep on talking about illegal, but completely legal knee and finish the fight.
I'd also like to point out, Randall, that he did come out and said yesterday on the UFC on POA that he did feel like a doofus for, and by the way, I just want to point out that this haircut that Mark Munoz has right now, what in the world is that? Are you watching that, Randall?
Yeah, I'm trying to point out exactly what that is. I mean, it's got to be a logo for something, but
I don't know what it is, but it's red. It's red. It seems almost like his skin is out.
Yeah, it looks like whoever the barber was for that might have rubbed the blade a little bit too close.
Oh, boy, it's not that appealing. I hope that doesn't cause him to fight with the blood in the back. But, getting back to Chael Sonnen, he said that he felt like a doofus for throwing that feedback. He said it yesterday. And then Ariel Helwani also asked him about him going to the World Wrestling Entertainment, and he said no. You know, I'd love to go as a fan, but his promoter is Dana White, so we're not going to see him in the WWE, although I'd love to see him. I don't know about that.
Well, that's now. You never know. Things can always change in the future.
Yeah, that is true.
You know, they can always say that now, but things can always change.
Very true. Let's go to a quick commercial. Imagine Chael Sonnen versus Rampage at WrestleMania 33 or something like that. That would be neat. Two UFC guys going at it in the main event. Hey, we'll be right back after this commercial break. With Lazar Tayadinovich, who won the CFA Featherweight Championship belt at CFA Osem. We'll be right back.
Visit El Octagono for all the latest in MMA, news, fight results, interviews, live event coverage, podcasts, and video capsules. All this and much more in Spanish. Find all your MMA needs here inside El Octagono, the number one source dedicated 100% to MMA in Spanish. ElOctagono.com.
Check out the latest news and the coolest interviews on The Roman Show every Tuesday and Wednesday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Visit us on RodolphoRoman.com or check us out on Twitter at RomanDH. Check out The Roman Show on Facebook. Visit Facebook.com/TheRomanShow. Like us and make sure you spread out the word about the coolest and hippest radio program on the internet to date. Check it out, facebook.com/TheRomanShow. The Roman Show has captivated the sports fans' attention in a fast-paced, Therefore, join the Roman Show family by sponsoring us. Send us an email to RomanDH@Yahoo.com. Join this growing family as it grows quickly. Send us an email right now, RomanDH@Yahoo.com, and notice the exposure your company will get. Again, email us at RomanDH@Yahoo.com to sponsor the coolest and hippest program on the internet, The Roman Show. Catch up with any past interviews on The Roman Show by visiting our website, RodolfoRoman.com. That's RodolfoRoman.com. Catch up on all interviews in the past The Roman Show has conducted. And if you happen to like the current show, check out The Roman Show tomorrow morning on RodolfoRoman.com. You have a business, but you have no money? Well, no worries. OchoaOnline.com has you covered. Head on over to OchoaOnline.com for the best prices. And trust me, when it comes to internet websites, these guys know how to do it. OchoaOnline.com will help you set up the best quality-based website for your business or company. OchoaOnline.com. Visit them right now at OchoaOnline.com. That's OchoaOnline.com. The official sponsor of The Roman Show website, OchoaOnline.com. Want to win some money while you watch the big fight this weekend? Head on over to countermove.com. That's countermove.com with a K.
You're listening to The Roman Show, the hottest radio sports program on the net. Call in live at 714-868-0222 or tweet us live at RomanDH. It's The Roman Show. AllOutMMAGear.com is your best source for MMA gear and apparel. Use code ROMANSHOW and receive 15% off your next purchase. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter at AllOutMMAGear and on Facebook.com/AllOutMMA for the latest on merchandise and special offers. AllOutMMAGear.com, from Miami to the world.
With more action here in the Roman Show. Randall following here, the UFC on Fuel TV, Weidman and Munoz going at it. Randall, I just can't get away with a haircut. It's just...
It's actually an insignia of his Team Munoz logo. That's what it is. It's the logo from the Munoz, Team Munoz, I guess from his gym. That's what he, I guess, had cut into his hair.
No, that's cool. It seemed like Freddy Krueger... just like, you know what I mean? Just started chopping his head away, and it got really close to his brain.
I want you to
point something out, and I'm going to point this out. Notice how Munoz right now, when he was getting hit behind the head, he put his hand over that haircut. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
So Wyman is a smart dude.
He's not supposed to be getting hit in the back of the head, but. But, yeah, I did notice that. It could be irritated.
It can. It probably that's what it is. And, like you said, I don't want to go to that barber, wherever he went to.
because it doesn't look pretty to me.
Hey, I want to talk about Kung Lee, who could be headlining a UFC on Fuel in China. They're going to be discussing that with Dana White. I think it'll be a great opportunity for this man. 40 years old, but the guy looks in phenomenal shape. He hasn't had a lengthy MMA career, but he had made a statement in the profession, winning a title, and the guy looks good. 40 years old, but the guy looks phenomenal. You got to give it to him, Randall.
He did. You could tell towards the end of the fight he was low on the gas tank, but I mean, regardless, for 40 years old, that guy looked incredible. It was fantastic to see him in there again and against a formidable opponent in Patrick Cote, who's been on a winning streak in other promotions. He definitely looked great. It's going to be great to see him go home and be able to, you know, fight over there.
That'll be super mean. I'm sure he's going to have some chills if he does headline that event. Hey, Randall Rose came out on the ESPN, the body issue. Did you get to see a sneak peek at some of the pictures, Randall?
Yes, I did.
It's been buzzing. It's been buzzing. Everyone has, they have their jaws dropped. And it's a whole lot better than watching Chris Cyborg. No offense to her, because I'm sure she can kick my butt. She's talented. But Randy Rossi looking very beautiful in this magazine. What'd you say?
Yeah. I mean, she is one of the more beautiful fighters. A lot of the women fighters, all of them, they're beautiful. But, you know, Ronda Rousey is one of those that does have that beauty part that meshes well with her style. It's weird because she has, like, this aggressive kind of beauty to her. So, I mean, even in the picture, you know, she looks angry as hell.
And I want to point out, speaking of ladies in MMA, and we just had Shayna Baszler here, who's going to be fighting at Invicta FC 2 July 28th in Kansas against Sarah McMahon, who's undefeated. We're also going to have next Wednesday here on the Roman Show, as we speak MMA, we're going to have Alexis Davis, who will be on that card. She will be part of the co-main event, and she will be fighting Hatomi Akano. They'll be going at it. Did I pronounce that name right? Hatomi Akano.
Yeah,
pretty sure it is. Akano will be fighting Davis at Invicta FC 2. And again, you can get your tickets by visiting the website InvictaFC.com. We'll have her here next week. And also, Randall, as you know, we have the Pro Wrestling Show. We had a great show last night with Tully Blanchard, original Four Horsemen. And next week, we're going to go a little off subject. But we do discuss sports here, as you know, Randall, when the Miami Heat won the finals. So we are going to have Andy Levine, who was part of the WWE Tough Enough. But in addition, we're going to have a special guest, if you want to say. Special in every way. Because when the Miami Heat won the finals, two adult actresses,
before you continue, I just want to point out Chris Weidman destroyed Mark Munoz.
Yes.
I just want to point that out.
Holy moly. Yeah, and wow.
Yeah.
He is gushing.
Yeah.
Now, is the blood coming from the back of the head?
Yeah. No, it's coming from the front. He really messed him up.
Well, there goes the title shot.
A nice elbow caught Mark Munoz when he was coming forward with a big right hand. And Chris Weidman was able to finish the job with the ground and pound. And the referee was kind of late on the stoppage, man. He was out for a while before it got stopped. I mean, to me, right at the after like about 6 or 7 punches, it should have been stopped. The referee let it go for about 10 or 20.
He was gone. He was definitely gone.
Yeah, he was gone. He was done. He was done a while before it got stopped.
Ah, Lord, and look at the blood. You know, like they say in that website, World Star Hip Hop, he was leaking. And he was leaking badly.
Yep.
Wow. Well, there goes the chances of Mark Munoz getting a title shot against Anderson Silva.
I mean, to point out, I mean, he's coming back from a surgery on his elbow. I mean, he was out for a while. So, I mean, there could be a little bit of ring rust that played into fact here with him. and just fight. So, I mean, hopefully Mark Munoz could come back better and stronger next time. But Chris Weidman has looked incredible ever since he entered the UFC octagon. He's looked incredible. And he's well on his way. You know, he's one of those that with a couple more fights, he can be in the contention for a title.
Yeah, wow, just an amazing elbow. They're knocking out Munoz straight to the ground and just bringing down blood all over the octagon. Incredible, and a great win there for Chris Weidman. Wow, shocked. Well, as we were mentioning, Randall, as we await, we're going to call a little bit, just in a few minutes, Lazar Stojadinovic, the CFA featherweight champion. So we're going to have next week on Tuesday at 9:30 p.m., we're going to have Andy Levine and also the very special guest. And as I mentioned, these two adult actresses had a bet that if the Miami Heat won the finals, they will perform oral sex on all of their Twitter followers and their members on their website and the officials or workers or employees of the Miami Heat. So, we're going to have Sarah J. She's an adult actress here on The Roman Show who will be giving us the 411 on how that big event on August the 2nd, what's going to happen? You know, how the 411, the ins and outs. You know, what are you going to do to be a part of this? You're a part of this? Are you going to be a part of that, Randall?
A part of what?
The whole big event? Is that the actresses are, I mean, come on. Everybody, you know, this is one thing. A lot of people, they know about it. They want to see it, but they don't want to say it. You know, they get kind of enclosed. But we're going to take on Sarah Jane. She's going to be talking about it because I've seen on Twitter that people are traveling all the way from the Northeast down to Miami to be a part of this. And mind you, they want to break a Guinness Book of Records. So God knows how many people are going to show up to this thing. But
we got to see how many of those Twitter followers are actually married men.
Right? I just hope they don't bring a lame excuse like, hey, I got to go down to Miami to work.
Exactly.
Whatever. You know, this stuff is going to get filmed, but, you know, you could wear a mask from what I understand.
Yeah.
So
definitely.
We're going to get the 411. We're going to get the 411 next week here on The Roman Show, and make sure you follow us on Twitter at RomanDH. If you have a question for her, perhaps you follow Sarah Jane and you want to talk to her, then send us a question, and we'll ask her for you here on the program. And with that being said, let's get a hold of Lazar Stojadinovic, the Pitbull, who defeated Jordan Parsons. Jordan Parsons beating several competitors to win that belt, and he was making his first title defense, and, well, he got knocked out. In less than 2 minutes in the first round as he's getting a hold of Lazar. Hey, Lazar, welcome to the Roman Show, my man. How you doing?
What's going on, man? I'm good here.
All right, Lazar, you're on with myself, Rodolfo Roman, and Randall Villafana. Lazar, congratulations on that victory of yours against Jordan Parsons at CFA 07. Man, what you came in so focused. You know, Jordan was yelling and screaming, and in fact, before the bell rang, he even said, you know, haters be my motivator. Lazar, in the press conference, you guys were going at it verbally. At any point, Lazar, did this get to you? Because Jordan Parsons is the guy that talks a lot. He really provokes this.
Well, at any point in time that anybody says something to me, it gets to me. I wanna beat him up. So, pretty much at the press conference, he was getting to me because I had to wait 2 more days so I could put a BD on him. So, it was aggravating me at the press conference. But once we got in the cage, it was like a relaxation for me. We're finally here. It's time to, you know, close your mouth and it's time to fight. And as soon as we stepped in there and I seen he just kept talking, I realized he was scared and just all that talking that he did was just a way to get himself in that cage, basically. Some people, that's the way they motivate themselves to get themselves to fight. See, I do it because I like to do it. It's fun for me. I get in there. If I didn't like to do it, I wouldn't do it. For instance, I don't like heights. I don't do things that involve me getting on heights. I don't skydive. I don't get on roller coasters because I don't like it. So I don't do it. If I didn't enjoy fighting, if I got nervous, if I got scared, I wouldn't do it. That's why I don't do anything that involves heights. So
I think. Go ahead.
So yeah, once I seen them screaming, I already knew I this before it breaks. Pretty much, I was aggravated at the press conference. His words got to me at the press conference.
No, I think we're losing you, Lazar. Can you hear us, Lazar?
It sounds like we lost the connection there.
Yeah, I think we lost him there. Lazar, can you hear us? Trying to get a hold of Lazar again here on the Roman show as he defeated Jordan Parsons. And, you know, Lazar, no stranger to gold, as he also won the King of the Cage belt. He won the King of the Cage. In fact, he beat a former The Ultimate Fighter contestant. So he is no stranger to the belt. And from what I understand, he actually fought against Jordan Parsons, overcoming some injuries. And we will ask him right now about this right now.
Yeah.
We're trying to get a hold of... Hey, Lazar, can you hear us better now?
Yeah, I'm sorry. We just cut off,
okay.
I guess.
It's okay. So you left off as far as the press conference and what Jordan Parsons was saying to you, and that it did get to you.
Yeah, at the press conference, obviously got to me. It got me angry because I just wanted to, you know, I wanted to fight right there. So, but once we got in the cage, you know, I was comfortable. Once we're in there, you know, I'm comfortable. It's my house, and that's it.
And no doubt about that. And, you know, Jordan Parsons, I know he was talking a lot, not only verbally to you, but also on Twitter and social media. He was just blabbing away. Now, boy, were you surprised, though, that Jordan didn't start the fight with his strong base, which is wrestling?
Well, I think I kind of made it difficult to him because it's hard to shoot on somebody when they're moving around so much. In the beginning, I was circling, moving around, because I kind of figured he was going to go in for the shot. So I just kept circling, and once he couldn't really find a home to shoot in. And especially me being a lefty, moving around, he really couldn't set his shot up. I think that was what really got him uncomfortable. And in the beginning, he landed a couple punches. And I wasn't really worried of his punches because I felt it. It didn't feel like anything that would rock me or, you know, or hurt me at all. So I really didn't matter to me if he landed anything. I just wanted to get inside because I knew once I touched him, it was going to be a good night, you know.
Absolutely. Now, your knockout, Lazar, made it to Inside MMA. So a lot of people are aware of who you are now because of that knockout. That viciously, it literally just seems like a tree is coming down after it's been chopped off. So what was your reaction when they let you know or notified you that you came out on Inside MMA, which is a national program?
Well, I kind of figured it was going to, you know, the knockdown was so... It was so crazy. The whole place went nuts. I kind of figured that it was going to end up on Inside MMA, but when I heard it, I was more shocked than, you know. I knew it was going to happen, but I was pretty happy when I heard the news.
That's right. Glad I have a question for Lazar.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, Lazar, I wanted to ask you. I mean, obviously, going back to that punch, in the end, I mean, obviously, you never want to wish harm upon anybody and anything like that. And obviously, there was a lot of heat in this fight. But how good did that punch really feel for you inside? Because, I mean, the celebration was visible in your face when you knew it was over. But how?
Yeah.
That's the emotion you were feeling at that moment.
I mean, it's something unreal. It's better than anything. It's one of the greatest feelings in the world. Just... Even getting your hand raised but winning by knockout is definitely the best feeling in the world, by far. And I mean, once I hit him with it, I knew he was out. When you land that punch, the one that puts you out, you feel it in your knuckles. So Once it hit, I was going to throw the cross. And once that one hit, I was like, oh, he's out. And I looked, and he was, sure enough, he was out.
Definitely. And I did just want to point out the one thing that I felt like was kind of ironic for me. And this is like, I'm not trying to really bash on anything on Jordan Parsons, but that I felt was ironic was that in the video prior to his entrance, he mentions that your biceps, and he talked about the size of your biceps, and, well, good thing this isn't a curling competition. But yet in the end, the boxing and the power in those biceps that you have is what ended up finishing the fight. So I thought that was one of those ironic things.
It's pretty funny, yeah, because I was actually sitting down with my friends, and I made that joke, the sting joke. I was like, well, you brought up that my biceps weren't going to do anything, and they actually did help. So.
and one thing that I don't know if you guys noticed, but after Jordan Parsons realized what had happened, because he was knocked out cold, he couldn't believe. He thought that the fight was going on, and one of the officials pointed to the screen to let him know, look at the replay, he just got knocked out. Did you manage to catch that, Lazar, on the other end?
Yeah, I caught it. It's exactly like I said. He believed his own hype so much that it was unreal to him that he got knocked out. And that's another thing that I knew I had to fight. He just believed in his head that he was unbeatable. And in reality, he was unbeatable because the opponents he faced were very beatable, you know?
Right. Now, you did say something after the post fight that you had some injury. What exactly did you have, or are you recovering now?
Well,
what are we going to be having? Go ahead.
Well, one day in most of my injuries came in one day. It was a day I was really tired, and, you know, I just woke up, and I really didn't want to go train, and I just forced myself to go train, and it was just one of those days where, you know, your body needed to rest. I ran 12 miles the day before with a 40-pound weight vest, and I was just out of it, and I couldn't move. But I got myself up, and I went to go spar, and I ended up hurting my wrist. And my knee actually popped out because I was running so much that I had to take like 4 days off. I was thinking, I got to call the fight off, and just so much things. And my ankle twisted, so I really had a lot of injuries going in. And I just took some time off, you know, let everything kind of heal. Because once I popped the knee back in, it kind of felt normal, but it hurt. And I was like, man, I don't want it to pop out in the fight or anything, so... I just took some time off. The knee felt better. I iced it, just relaxed it, and went back in training, and felt good that day from, you know, taking some time off and just resting. And I got back in there. The injuries to my wrist still hurt because I cracked my wrist in sparring, so my wrist hurt. But it was nothing that I, you know, it wasn't anything I can't ignore. So I was just like, you know what, I'm gonna go. I had a rough training camp. I'm going to go in there, and I'm going to have fun. Just whatever happens, it happens.
So prior to the fight, you had taken some time off from training, or how long ago was that that you had stopped training?
Well, it was a week and a half before the fight.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. So that was why I was planning to call the fight off, and just, you know, I just had some thinking to do. I just didn't know, you know, because early on in my career, I just ignored things like that, and, you know, and that's why I suffered a lot, some of my losses, you know, early on in my career. I just ignored my injuries and just fought whoever, whenever, no matter what was wrong with me. So now I'm just trying to be, you know, more intelligent and instead of just taking any fight, because, you know, sometimes you have to stop and think.
Absolutely.
Well, Randy, you have a final question here for Lazar.
Well, yeah. I mean, the obvious question would be, what's next? I mean, obviously, now you have the title, the CSA featherweight, but what would be next? Are you going to take some time off for now, maybe get completely healed up, and then see what CFA has lined up for you to defend that?
Well, I wanted to jump back in there on CFA 8. I just, you know, just feeling amazing and on top of the world right after a win like that. But, you know, I thought about it, and I just wanted to rest my injuries up a little bit and get back in CFA 9. We have a potential opponent. I mean, I don't know if I should be talking about who it is, so I don't want to put it out there. It should be announced in CFA 9. I mean, CFA 8. Yeah, the next one, 9. So it should be announced on who I'll be fighting. Oh,
okay.
8, sorry.
Right. Wow. CFA will probably hear the announcement of who you'll defend your title then in CFA 9. We'll hear it.
Yeah, I mean, we have the opponent, but I just don't want, you know, want to names and
no worries.
Until they announce it in CFA 8.
Of course. Well, Lazar, man, we wish you good luck and heal that body of yours, and we'll see you once again now defending your belt for the first time, hopefully in CFA 09.
For sure. Thanks for having
Lazar.
Me.
Thank you, my man,
right,
and good luck.
Easy.
All right. Thank you, man. Thank you.
Bye.
All right. Randall, well, great stuff there from Lazar. Wow, he popped his knee. He had a week and a half. That's just amazing. The guy still was able to win the belt. That just shows you that the guy wanted it. Randall, are you there? Oh, I lost Randall. Ladies and gentlemen, we just got a few seconds here before we conclude the show. But as I had mentioned, we will have Alexis Davis next week here on the program. That's Wednesday, starting at 10 p.m. here on The Roman Show. Also, we're going to have another talent, perhaps from CFA. We'll let you know who that is. And, of course, on Tuesday, Andy Levine of WWE Tough Enough and also Sarah J, an adult actress, will be talking about this big event that's going to be taking place in Miami, Florida. In the meantime, guys, we're going to take a really, really, really short break, and we'll be right back with more here on The Roman Show. Take it.
Visit El Octagono for all the latest in MMA, news, fight results, interviews, live event coverage, podcasts, and video capsules. All this and much more in Spanish. Find all your MMA needs here inside El Octagono, the number one source dedicated 100% to MMA in Spanish. ElOctagono.com.
Check out the latest news and the coolest interviews on The Roman Show every Tuesday and Wednesday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Visit us on RodolphoRoman.com or check us out on Twitter at
RomanDA. Yeah, I don't know what happened. I
told you, bro. All right, Randall, we're back at it again, man. I lost you there for a second.
Yep.
Well, we're back.
At least I got a thank you from Blog Talk, though. I mean, they gave me a thank you, and then they hung up on me.
Well, interesting stuff there that we learned from Lazara Fedorovich, the new CFA featherweight champion, that, you know, a week and a half prior to his fight, he was contemplating of possibly not fighting at all because of his injury on his knee. But came in and took, a minute and some change to knock out Jordan Parsons. And now he is the new champion. So quite amazing stuff out of Lazar. I did not know that story. That's just quite amazing, man. It shows you how much you wanted that belt.
No, and not only that, but it shows you how much under his skin Jordan Parsons actually got, you know. I mean, sometimes you have to wonder if that kind of attack in a fight is actually smart. I mean, obviously we saw the Chael Sonnen situation with Anderson Silva. And, I mean, we saw how that ended out. Even though that could have gone either way, it wasn't as clean as this Jordan Parsons-Lazar knockout. But, you know, it obviously shows us sometimes maybe it's just smarter to keep your mouth shut and, you know, play the game the right way and just... But, I mean, and that's just in some sense. Because in all regards, I think a lot of that hype did help the sales of that fight as well.
Yes. Yeah, it was nicely attended, and it was almost like 1 o'clock in the morning, and the place was still packed. So, there was no doubt about that.
This Saturday, we're going to have a Strike Force coming back with champion Luke Rockhold versus Tim Kennedy for the middleweight title, Nate Marquardt versus Tyrone Woodley for the vacant welterweight title, Roger Gracie versus Keith Jardine, Lawrence Larkin versus Robbie Lawler, and then the preliminary card, we have starting off with Jorge Masvidal versus Justin Wilcox, which And we spoke about this in El Octagonal round, and I have no idea why they put in George Masvidal in the preliminary after he fought Gilbert Melendez for the belt. That just doesn't make any sense.
That's one of the things that I dislike a lot of how Strikeforce manages a lot of their fights. You know, to put somebody who's actually been impressive and, you know, just lost the title match to send them all the way down to a prelim card, it's just kind of a slap in the face.
It is. You know, the guy fought a stud, and boom, he put him all the way in the bottom of the prelims. So that just tells you something. Let's talk briefly here on the UFC on Fuel TV. Some of the points that you got from this show here tonight, man.
In this show, I do want to point out that Alex Caceres just keeps on improving and showing the length of his learning, how much he's growing as a fighter now that he's a part of the biggest organization in the sport. Being able to submit somebody like Demacio Page does not come that easy. And he was able to use kind of an Anderson Silva technique to finish that fight. And I wouldn't be surprised if he actually gets the bonus for submission of the night with that victory, because it was definitely impressive. He's been showing great length of learning in MMA, and I can't wait to see what he does next, man.
He is. You know, I remember seeing that kid fight here in Miami when he started, and it's just amazing to see how, like you stated, how he's grown little by little. And I remember him interviewing him once, asking him, remember, he used to have a fro, then he shaved it off. And I said to him, you know, why did you shave off your fro? You know, that was your thing. That was your look. He said, you know, it's all about maturity. And you mature as a person, and you mature inside the octagon. And surely enough, he's doing it, and we can see that by the results. What are the final thoughts, man, before we let go of this program tonight?
I'm excited to see what's going to happen with UFC 149 that's coming up soon with Uriah Faber versus Renan Barrao, the incredible, undefeated Brazilian superstar. And it's going to be a great fight. But then we also got that Strikeforce card, which is looking great. I want to see what happens with Luke Rockhold and Tim Kennedy, who definitely thrown out the challenge to Anderson Silva. I don't believe that either of them are in that level yet, but they can definitely make that impression, and you never know if they can make that crossover over the UFC and become contenders. So I'm really excited to see what happens there, and I'm now even more excited to see who Lazar is going to defend that belt against, because I'm trying to put together what other
they are. Thinking of who the heck it is, but I guess we're just going to have to wait till CSA OE, which takes place August 18th. And you spoke about UFC 149, Faber and Barrao. On that card, the co-main event is Tim Boyce versus Hector Lombard. So we might get our question answered. If Hector Lombard defeats Boyce, he might get that shot against Anderson Silva. So it's just a matter of waiting. And also, there's been a lot of talk. People ask Dana White, how about John Jones versus Anderson Silva? Will you make that happen? He said, well, I'll try my best. Because that's another name that they've been throwing out there. And that'll be a fun one to see too, Brando.
I mean, that'd be a great fight to see. I just think that right now John Jones needs to stay in his division and keep on defending that belt. I mean, I think he needs a little bit more in his own division. And Anderson at this point, he just doesn't look like he wants to be moving divisions. He wants to stay where he's at and just fight when the fight comes. I don't think he's trying to look for any fight. And I think that's what's going to allow his career to extend himself a little bit and defend that middleweight championship a few more times.
That's right. Well, Randall, with that being said, that pretty much wraps it up for us. Enjoy the rest of the evening here, whether you're in listening to us in Chicago, New York, or California, wherever you are. Make sure you tune in every Wednesday at 10 p.m. And you check out InElOctagonal.com. And, you know, Randall, we're in competition here because we got this MMA award thing, and so I'm going to go ahead and plug it. If you visit the RodolphoRoman.com website, click on the banner right above, right in the middle of the webpage, and click on it. Do what you got to do with email. It only takes about a minute and a half, and vote for us or vote for Octagonal, whatever you want. At the end of the day, we all win, man. We all win. But
regardless, and I have to mention this here on the show with you, remember, we do have some challenges that we have to do between the Octagonal and Roman show. that that actually our good friend Camilo threw out the challenge that we're all going to do a competition against you as a host of the Roman show. And we got to put that together. We're going to organize it with a video of this, put it out for the fans to see, and they can vote on, you know, who is the winners and all that stuff. It's going to be fun stuff.
I'm ready, man. I've been training. I've been taking a little CrossFit, so I'm ready to rock. You just got to tell me what to do. You want me to climb rocks, caves, mountains, whatever you got, let's bring it. I'm ready. I'm in tip-top shape.
I'm going to get my Thai bow going, so I can be better.
I'll give you P90X. Like, it's a lot better, man.
All right.
Well, follow the action, guys, and follow Randall at Mr. Randall V on Twitter, and follow myself at Roman the Age. And, guys, again, Tuesday, 9:30 p.m. Randall, are you going to be part of that show with Sarah J?
I'll be on the show with you if you desire, but I'm not going to be anywhere involved on that event.
Yeah. You know, that's the thing. People are,
I'm a married man. I do not want to get myself chopped off. I don't want to be Lorena Bobbitt, okay? I'm okay with that.
People are just, you know, they all know about it. They all want to be curious about it, but they don't want to play a role in it. I don't get it. I just don't understand. Well, that being said, we'll follow it up next week, man. Randall, good night. And all you guys out there, make sure you listen to all of our interviews here tonight by visiting the website, RodolphoRoman.com. That being said, have a good evening, guys. Good night.